Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Welcome to another episode of Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, and I am so excited to have my sweet friend Tina joining me today. Thank you so much for being on and being with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we have met through leading worship together, and we met in like 2020?
Maybe, yeah.
I think it was that. It's only been a few years, but I feel like I've known you longer.
Same. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, I think I loved, we've been on a couple Women Evolve tours together. And the funny thing is like, you've seen the different sides of me.
Yes.
which has been, man, when you get me sleep deprived and just another Whitney comes out, and I'm working on that version. I'm working on all the versions.
I love all the versions. Oh my gosh.
I feel like we were very simpatico, if you want to call it, like in just our, I think where our brains just naturally go and like the kind of conversations we gravitate to. And I think just we're both in such spaces of like wanting to learn so much about the human psyche and the way God created us and our brains and emotions and just all the awful, wonderful stuff that kind of comes in between that. And so I just was excited to talk with you today. It's been awesome seeing, I mean, you just live in so many spaces, and you're doing some podcasting with your husband and talking through relationship stuff and marriage stuff. And can you tell just like a little bit about why that came about?
Ooh, so we're both we're trailblazing, you know, our marriage. We haven't seen it done like we are before, and we spent so much time like strategizing and analyzing and planning and studying, and we were like, at any time we talked to another person or counseled couples, we kept hearing the same things come up. And we were like, oh, there's more here, more people can benefit from, in some ways, what we've learned. And then in other ways, just talking about it. Like, it helps to hear someone that's dealing with things, because we often get a sanitized version of marriage or not enough perspective. I'm a product of divorce. He's a product of divorce. And so there's just a different perspective. So we're sharing about that and about the reality that a marriage is the overflow of your individual intimacy with Christ. And so it's just beautiful to share. Yeah.
Have you been finding in the last few years, like, is there a theme of just kinds of questions and struggles that couples and individuals are kind of navigating towards?
So many.
One
of the hilarious ones that comes up a lot that tends not to be asked, it's demonstrated, and then we find a way to kind of, hey, did you notice? Is a really independent, powerful, headstrong woman and a real laid back, you know, quieter kind of guy.
Okay.
And what we find, because we kind of have one meeting and then we're like, yeah, let's talk to you guys individually because you're people.
Totally.
You don't tend to need a lot of couples counseling, and individually they're different. And we find in some ways, especially for, how to put it, there are men who seem quiet, but they're leaders, and a leader knows how to serve and listen. And so he's serving and listening to his wife who's going off, and you're like, oddly enough, we find a way to help them meet in the middle. But that's something that we see demonstrated. People don't really often realize that that's happening. And then a lot around triggers.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
How you talk through things. And I find that a lot of adults don't realize, I've got two kids and they're kind of, they've dumped me into the middle of all this.
Yeah.
And I tantrum the exact same way my 4-year-old does. She's actually farther along than me.
Totally. And so yeah.
Learning, like, just the way you mentioned how your emotions and your mind and the spirit at work and his will and all the things come together to help us, but we need language and we need intention and coaching. Yeah. Help. So,
yeah, totally. And I love that because you are on that exploration of really learning, how to give that language and kind of dig back into ourselves and learn, okay, like, why is this a trigger for me? And why do I respond in this way? And I know you've done a lot of the deep work. And it is interesting. I feel like it goes hand in hand. The conversation of, it feels like we have now very hyper independent women. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it started out great, right? To be like I'm strong, you know, I'm independent, but it feels like it's gone now to this extreme of like, I only need myself. Yeah. Cause I got this and I can't depend on anybody else, you know? And I know for you, you're just learning a lot of kind of, you mentioned like reparenting yourself and learning about a lot of these kinds of traits that we pick up. Can you just share a little bit about that journey of like, when did you realize that it was something you needed to do? And then like learning how to do the hard work.
It's been a really long journey. It actually started before I came to Christ. So up until 2010, I was an atheist. And then I met Christ in the church, same church I'm a member with now. And before then, the Holy Spirit was like pulling me. And so he was prompting me to, you know, just calling me to him. And I started to try to unpack. I had a sense that there was something in my childhood that I needed to like understand, or in my family of origin, something, and I couldn't put my finger on it. Fast forward, we got married in 2014, I had our first child, our son, in 2016. It wasn't until I had my daughter, who's 4 now, that I started to see, for one, she looked like me, which was strange to look at an infant who looks like yourself. And she has always been so accurate and expressive and completely intolerant of force. It's the oddest thing. And I say that because like, if she gets it and she agrees, she's totally, she'll go along.
She's on board.
And I didn't realize that, you know, I was changing her little diaper and I tried to like pull her leg in a direction and she lost it. And the Holy Spirit was like, tell her what's going on. And I talked her through it and she settled and she was A-okay. And seeing her full range of expression through observation, seeing how even without words for it, she was so thoughtful. It was so accurate.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I ever had the freedom to explore at that level. And if she's doing this at 4, it kind of pushed me into this space of like, God, what all is here? And then I had some pastors who helped point out to me some of the things that, how to put it, everyone's experience is different. And I believed that I had this like, you know, rosy, wonderful upbringing. And they pointed out that there were things about my experience that may have been, may have created different ways of operating for me. Like habits that I just stuck with. And so I started exploring all of it and just digging in. And that's where I still am, like still figuring it out.
I love that because I think, so a theme that I'm noticing a lot in, cause I'm now coaching clients, people who struggle with chronic pain. And one of the big similarities with a lot of people is childhood trauma. And it's interesting because most people would say, I didn't grow up with any trauma. So like, that's not a part of my story. So let's move on. Where else could this be coming from? Right. And so it's an interesting thing because it's just a little bit of me and my love of neuroscience, but the ways in which, and you know, a lot of this, the ways in which our brains and our nervous systems learn how to adapt to things tend to be things that actually kind of re-traumatize them. So it's like, it doesn't necessarily have to be the things that we would, of course, see as trauma, right? Mm-hmm. Emotional or physical or sexual abuse, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But even like a child feeling unheard or unseen, you know, or left to cry for too long. And so felt abandoned. Like these little things, like you're saying, leave these imprints to where we now learn these adaptations, mm-hmm. like you're saying, and habits to function in different ways. But we don't realize that it's actually, it is imprinting trauma into our brain and our nervous system.
Yeah.
So then it's interesting when I really start to talk through that more with people, they're like, okay. I think just because trauma, it also is a very popular term again. There's the cycles of everything, and trauma is very big right now. Mm-hmm. you know, so I love that because it does make so much sense when we actually start to allow ourselves to maybe dig into our past a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I love that with other people speaking into it too, mm-hmm. not just us being like, well, maybe I'm screwed up, but someone that we, you know, love and trust and can be like, here's a new way to maybe look at that. So I love that. Mm-hmm. So then you have this realization that your childhood wasn't perfect. And where did you find yourself needing to start? And how did you like realize, okay, here's where I'm going to go?
It's so beautiful. There wasn't a start and there isn't a finish. And I'm starting to become more and more settled with that because I think my core challenge is control. Like, let me just wrestle everything to the ground, cover everything, handle everything, know what's happening.
Yeah.
And in a marriage and with my kids, control becomes abusive without you even meaning it to, right?
Totally.
And it's just something that I'm working on. Like, let's kill this so that it's not an overflow.
Yeah.
But it, I can't point to, because I went through trauma therapy. I've studied a million books and podcasts and all the things, and I couldn't pinpoint a specific thing. And the Holy Spirit is so kind, because as a part of my journey, as an adult, he revealed to me that I had experienced things that I wouldn't have otherwise considered abuse as a very young child. And so it helped me to, I think there would have been a bitterness or a vengeful spirit, all kind of things were kind of, I had a different perspective looking back on them and was more focused on, okay, but how do I just heal so I can stop being avoidant with my 4-year-old when she's mad?
That's real. That's really good.
So it's just exploring. It's really just being open and curious about my own behaviors and trying to step into an observation mode with myself. And being more, not clinical, but when you're in it, you just get lost in your emotions. You become your emotions, just like a toddler.
Yes.
And you have no idea what you're doing. And so I'm trying to stay, to go back and consider and, you know, what is really happening here. And so that's what's helping. But there aren't specific, it didn't start any specific place. It just keeps going.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and I even ask from a place of like, you know, someone listening now who's like, I know that I'm functioning in ways that are adaptations of maybe some past trauma or just some unhealthy patterns that I've learned. And I think while our generation is absolutely more welcoming to these kinds of conversations and therapy and all that kind of stuff, it can still feel even just overwhelming and scary, you know, to start. I think someone that in kind of the mind body chronic pain community, she always talks about like what hurts versus what hurts worse. And I noticed that in myself, like I was willing to sit in the what hurts because I didn't want to do all the work because it was going to hurt more to get to the fruitful beauty at the end of like now being free from chronic pain. But it was and it still is, there's no finish. There's absolutely no finish, but it's like Wow. Yeah. It was hard to sit in the pain that I was experiencing, but a different kind of pain felt scarier at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, so to start. So, but I do love that. I leaning into the Holy Spirit's just like leading and guiding. 'Cause you're right. Like, and I was somebody who pushed away emotion for so long. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just not a feeler. Mm-hmm. I always had like male friends. 'Cause I was like, we just like hang out, play sports. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, you know, and I felt like I avoided female relationships mm-hmm. because I'm like, nah, I'm not really feely and into all of that stuff. And then I realized I opened the gate and it like came in. And so then I had a mentor at the time who was like, all right, let's make sure, you know, life now doesn't just become about my internal world and experience. Like there's still, it is, you're right. It's a good balance because God still has a call on my mm-hmm. life and there's still work to be done, but he absolutely loves me too and wants mm-hmm. to see me healed and whole and free. So it can be an interesting navigation of doing all of that yeah. for sure.
It's so.
So yeah. No, please.
There's so many things. 'Cause as you were talking, something I was discussing recently was like this idea of what hurts worse. What I'm coming to learn is what healing looks like. And mm-hmm. I definitely had that rosy picture of like, nothing bothers yep. me. And my yeah. tolerance yeah. threshold is through the roof. And uh-huh. it's the opposite. He makes us so tenderhearted. So yeah. available to the fullness, the richness of the emotional experience mm-hmm. he has empowered us to embody. And like, it's so much different than I expected, but it's so yeah. beautiful. And so I'm yeah. trying to move away from, you know, good and bad and like
right.
hurts and feels good and all the things. And I'm like, it's just more, mm-hmm. it's fuller, it's mm-hmm. richer. And, for me, I think there were two pieces that helped me really start. And one was, I'm a dreamer, right? And God speaks to me through dreams. And he gave me this
yeah.
beautiful vision that helped solidify in my spirit that the journey would be safe. That it was going to be a complete reconstruction. The dream involved this like wow. house. And so it was this physical architectural vision, wow. right?
I love that. Yeah.
But he was like, it's good. It is solid yeah. and it's your future. And I was like, okay, God. And, and he just planted okay. that seed in my
yeah.
soul. Right?
Yeah.
So that helped because then my intuition, which can be skewed, right? A lot of times growing up, we're unintentionally, our parents or caregivers or circumstances will plant these seeds of mistrust of the guide yes. that God planted in us. And then as yeah. adults, we think things are unsafe. And so he switched that back around for me. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's so powerful. That is really powerful. And so I know you are, you know, we've talked a little bit about it in the times that we've just sat and talked, but mentioning just being passionate about this idea of kind of reparenting yourself yeah. and re-establishing, I think, some of your God-given identity and the way that he created you. What does that process look like for you?
Mm. It's so, I draw a lot of parallels with my kiddos because that's how I'm figuring mm-hmm. it out.
Totally.
And so when we pray, I always remind them, like, God's your first dad. And mm-hmm. I try to instill in them this idea that before me and Ebenezer,
yeah, yeah,
like he knew you, he's your yeah. father, your identity is in him. And strategically, I'm like, we gonna mess up, we are going to get it wrong, and I don't want often, you to yeah. think the buck starts or stops with our history, level of overcoming or healing or anything.
Yeah.
And when wow. your belief is, I mean, you're here. You guys are helping me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But I come from Christ. Then you're always able yeah. to point back to a whole, a healed, a full yeah. and godly parent. And that's what I'm slowly coaching myself to, is like, okay,
yeah,
it didn't start or stop with my parents, right? Or with yeah. the people who I encountered during my life here. This is about me and God, and what is he saying? I try to, I've been following some of your techniques, the ones I can grab off of IG.
Thanks. And
a quick testimony is I healed from chronic pain in my inner ankle on the right foot, which you might have noticed on one of our tours, I was like taking pain pills for, and legitimately there was an injury and whatever.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was that when I was at a conference, it was pre-conference, I was fasting, spoke healing over it, and then I started continuing the practice of speaking safety as I experienced it. And within a couple weeks, it was just gone. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Amazing.
And it has not come back at all.
Wow. Come on. Yeah. I love that.
And that's just
from... Wow. I don't think I knew that. Yeah.
Which, yeah, I'm sorry for not sharing it. But that's just from putting into practice the wisdom that you're sharing. It's so effective, and it's so, like, you can grab it and use it, which I love. And so that's some of what I do is, I mean, I'm watching what my kids are doing, but then trial and error. What's working, what's not. And not shaming myself for the many, many failures, not lying down and dying in the many, many failures, but just trying to have a sense of humor and trying to be open about it and just keep trying.
That's really good. I feel like I've heard every parent say, like, it's their kids that teach them. They're like, you're just this, showing all of my habits as well. So when I'm yelling at my daughter, I'm yelling at myself.
And it's like, I know the word says, like, I only do that which I see the Father do. And I think of Jesus the adult, you know, when I hear that, they are... The research has shown now that the same mimicking we can tell our kids do once they're born, that actually starts earlier. While they're in the womb, they're picking up on your, you know, your world, your embodied experience of your world. And then the second they're born, they're learning. And so they're picking up all of your behaviors and mannerisms and all the things. And what's special about our little ones is the Holy Spirit was able to guide me to basically let them talk crazy to me. And I say it that way, and they don't really talk crazy. They're respectful. We've created this atmosphere where they can tell us exactly how they feel. And along with my trusted adult relationships, I'm in a space where, you know, my five-year-old can say when he notices that I'm withdrawing, because he's being a five-year-old and an absolute mess, I would withdraw and not make eye contact and retreat within myself. And he would start asking questions, and it would create this cycle where I could, you know, I'd deal with it in the moment in a kid-appropriate way to, like, just, hey, mommy's back. Sorry, my bad. But in my private time, evaluate, like, what was going on and what is the habit there and how else is it showing up and what can I change? And so it's just constant, you know, observation and analysis and adjustment.
That's really good. How have you noticed it showing up in your guys' marriage? Like, I know you talked a little bit about control, and I know I'm sure it's just, it's brought up so many things.
So Ebony,
a lot. I get it.
But one thing I would I would love to, like, I wish I had known before I started all of this work and before I even started dating. You don't have to be perfect and healed to date and get married. And so,
are you sure?
Positive. And that is very much just this way of, like, some of it is avoidance. Like, God, it's faith and works.
And I say that because I fall into that mindset often.
As do I.
I'm like, I think I have more work to do.
Still, me too. I'm like,
you
know, if I can't be perfect around him, if I can't be pleasant around him, let me be in another room of the house. And so where our marriage has grown to is now we can be kind of jerky to each other. And I don't mean that we're abusive, but
for sure,
for two people who were avoidant and who were shut down when we experienced intense emotion, it took a while for me to realize that part of my healing looks like saying, you just did something that annoys me and I'm angry and not putting on a face. Right. But he's been willing to go along, to be there through all of it. And has his own intimate relationship with the Lord that lets him be guided in a healthy way as he witnesses my growth. And so a lot of the things that that show up on my end, on the best day, I'm the perfect wife, right?
Yeah.
I'm pleasant and pretty and I cook and I clean and I'm wearing all the clothes. And the thing. On the worst day, I've been abusive and had to actually talk through, and we had to put an emergency rescue plan in place. I was like, hey friend, can I, and I asked him permission. I was like, can I text you SOS? Can he text you SOS? If I go off the deep end, because I think a few months ago I gave him the silent treatment for like a week and we spoke, but I was totally
right.
So he's dealing with all of that, but we're doing the really hard work to, like, I've done listening sessions where I just sit for an hour and listen to him unload. And like, we've talked through, all the things that come with that resentment and breaking off bitterness and all the stuff. It's been beautiful, but it's been really hard. And I say that to say, if he knows the king, I mean, really, really knows the king. Just do it.
Yeah. Man, that's so good. Cause my most serious relationship ended up, you know, he was not a believer anymore. And I remember I was making all the justifications in my head, like, well, you know, my dad and my brother and like my male friendships, they all love Jesus. So if I need that, I'll go to them, you know? And then I got hit with absolutely not. So, thank God for that. But it's relationships are tricky enough as it is. I can imagine. I know some friends in marriages who, aren't equally yoked. And so there's different kinds of struggles that you have to navigate. And that's not anybody who is in that situation. So that's absolutely not to say there can't be healing and restoration and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot to navigate with it.
There really is. And it's so interesting. Yeah. Like, one of the things, the really awkward place I'm in right now is
we love it.
I'm becoming a grown up and I can do hard things, which, let the record reflect, that is my 4-year-old's mantra. On Sunday after church, she got in the car and was like, Mommy, I can do hard things.
Come on.
And she walked through 7 or 8 different things she ain't want to do that she did. And I was like, who are you? So Mommy can do hard things. But some of it is acknowledging that, and this is partly prompted by what we were talking about around like who you choose and how you marry. Some of this stuff that we're trying to make supernatural, like the Lord is going to compel our spirit around the world to our husband and we're not going to see anybody but him. And then we're going to magically, because that's magic. That's not the Lord.
Because that ain't work yet for me.
Like, it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice. And we yield to him. And sometimes we don't want to lay aside the expectations or the demands that we think we need to have met, or the needs we think are needs and our preferences. And,
Speak on that. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Needs and preferences.
I have some needs that are for sure needs, not preferences.
You don't need to have a fine husband.
Oh man.
He don't have to be good looking in a traditional, like, I'm a supermodel sense. He doesn't have to be well off. He might be financially struggling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He might not. Think of it this way.
Jesus. All I know is so far you've described my future husband, who's Michael B. Jordan. He is attractive and he's financially well off. So far I'm good.
Respectfully.
Respectfully.
But it's, you know what?
Yeah.
What do we need? Because you need someone who, if we're raising up a generation of women that are carrying Christ, right? We are impregnated with the will of God. Like, there is a spiritual battle at play, and we can't have somebody that at best is in the backyard with a toy water gun shooting at birds. Like, we need husbands that can enter the spirit realm and war. Like, what is...
I'm obsessed with that analogy. I don't... not a water gun shooting at birds. My God, because that's what my nephews do.
That's what my daughter does.
And they're 4 and under, yeah.
And it's...
Wow.
You can... The challenge is, like, we're so surrounded by the evidence of... success in the flesh.
Yeah.
We have to kill that and supplant it with whatever his will looks like in the spirit. And that, you know, it might look like somebody who, I picked the big two, because that was me. I was like, I need a rich, fine man who is, and I didn't know it then, I wanted someone who demonstrated traits of toxic masculinity. I wanted someone who seemed aggressive and assertive and and I didn't realize that's usually not yielded to the Holy Spirit. Like, there's not enough vulnerability to really parent and be a husband in the fullness that I did need. It just didn't look like what I preferred.
Right. Yeah, that is tough, because I think that's really tough, because it's my birthday soon, and I plan on
dating,
going out with my
MBJ, right? So, yeah. Does he know? Does he know that you've canceled and rearranged your plan?
He will. But no, it is really good, because I think in every other area of my life, and I think for a lot of people, I can't talk. In every area of my life, and I think for other people, it's like, Lord, what is your will? I want to do it. But then I think when it comes to, like, relationships, I don't know if we just haven't necessarily been taught that way. That because I, you know, I learned a prayer a long time ago, and I remember it was just like, Lord, you, like, I prayed all the time over my future marriage. Like, I want people to fall in love with you, seeing the way that, you know, my husband loves me. I want people to run to the altar when they see the way that you've paired us. Like, there's certain kinds of prayers, and you're right. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with the physical attributes that we really do celebrate, because we really do think that's the epitome of success. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've actually asked God, what do you think success? I have, but not in that capacity. Like, what do you think success will look like for me in my future marriage?
Yeah.
And absolutely. I mean, you know, in the dating app world and all that stuff, like, I'm not going to check on someone who says, like, in between jobs, you know,
which is interesting, because, like, so here's the challenge. We have to, there's a control element at work there, and it feels like there's more control in a scenario where someone has achieved financial stability. And the reality is, there are qualities in, and this is tricky, because there's discernment, huh? Argue with a fool, don't argue with a fool. It's discernment.
Yeah.
But there are character traits, you know, of strength of character that can be present in someone who is in a difficult season. And then there's character flaws in someone that has financial success that might have created the success that we'll overlook. And so a lot of it, I think, has to be about really studying, understanding what those character traits are. What are the indicators of integrity for you and of strong character and the fruit of the spirit? How do you know that a guy is walking in the fruit of the spirit? And then looking for the indicators of that. And if they rich and fine and it all matches up, then bless, Lord, he will do exceedingly abundantly. But if they're an average guy, they're a little shorter. And maybe they're in between jobs, but they're on unemployment and are writing their book and their bills are paid and they know how to take you on a date that you enjoy that's thoughtful, but for it's sure. not a grand romantic gesture, then maybe.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's discernment.
You said, what did you say? You said, what are the traits that are toxic that actually made them successful?
Because that's a piece of it. There's.
Yeah, because I know a lot of really successful rich people that I pray for.
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah,
you know, some of that is, how to put it? Some of the challenge is that increased success and power can kind of nurture corruption or there's basically like a war to keep the fruit of the spirit, you know.
Totally.
But then there's people where all these other traits got them there. Like that was the game plan from the beginning.
Right. That's good. You're hitting me. You're hitting me. No, in a good way. Just because it is, it's like the things I think relationally and even just back to your point of like even just successful, healthy emotions and ways to like live out the call that God has placed in our life. We really do. We look at, you know, what success is called here on earth. We look at fruit of other people's lives that isn't necessarily biblical fruit. Mm. Oftentimes it's not, right? That's all social media is highlighting. There's so much good about social media, but I mean, you know, the hashtag relationship goals and all that stuff. It's like, we're highlighting that they both were able to become really rich, you know, making money on Instagram and they're taking a video of them hugging with their perfect bodies and, you know, like, and it's just like, oh, that's okay. I'm not even close to that, God. So like, help me. He's like, that's not even the trajectory I have for you.
Yeah.
Like, ask me first.
That part.
Ask me first.
Because then
yeah.
what you don't see in scenarios like that are, again, these babies. Yeah. You'll commonly find that their kids will stop an event to want to record something to post on social media, right? Or are thinking about their lighting. Or instead of watching a sunset, want to run and grab their camera. And so there are all of these things that if you can consider, okay, if my 5-year-old acted or my 17-year-old, because 5 is still cute. If my 13-year-old, 13 is when it, nobody, you're living on the grace of the baby cuteness at 13.
Yeah, right.
If my 13-year-old acted like this man I'm considering as my husband at his worst, have I seen him at his worst? Mm-hmm. And what does it look like if my 13-year-old was like that all the time?
Wow, yeah.
A lot of times, that's a run for the hills.
Wow. Yeah, that's really,
Because they will.
That's good.
They'll pick it all up. And people will... you know, they'll court you and they'll persuade you and then that goes away. And when you have kids, if that's your vision, you're left with them at their most challenged and you at your most challenged. And then your kids start to live in that space. And we don't always, we can't see that. And then we end up in it and then want to get divorced. It's like,
wow. No. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. How has your marriage kind of helped heal some of this past kind of childhood?
Again, the dreams, but before the dreams, because I'm mindful of like not trying to impose something supernatural over like, no, you got to do some work. And I have done some work. Okay.
Totally. Yeah.
So I did the work of studying my husband and observing how he treated people who could do nothing for him. He is kind to homeless people and waiters and jerks.
Yeah.
He's, I love it though. He knows how to like stand his ground when you're being a jerk with him.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows how to be just G enough that you're not going to try it, but he's not going to be mean either.
Yeah.
And so,
that's powerful.
Right. So I was observing this. And then that gave me enough evidence in his behavioral patterns that when God finally got me to feel safe enough to be honest with myself about what I was experiencing emotionally.
Yeah.
I knew that I could trust it and share it with Ebenezer. And then I also had like dreams where I saw him with, basically I experienced like him taking care of the little girl in me. And it was this, again, the Holy Spirit, like implanting this seed of trust, like, yo, your soul can trust that I've got you. And it's because of the way this man is so submitted to me. I had 5 years of observing him on his face every morning. If I woke up before 7, I would see him on his face. In prayer. Wow. And I'd see him living out the fruit of it. You got a PhD in submission to Christ. Like, and so I could lean on him. And when you have healthy relationships, and you start to do the things you were scared to do before that you were conditioned to think you couldn't do, you start to recondition yourself because, oh, I took it to someone and I didn't get hurt. I took it to someone and it was fuller and more rich. And so that's helped heal too.
Yeah, that's really good. For someone like who is constantly around, we had talked about triggers previously. So for someone who finds themselves having to engage with somebody who really triggers them in a way that they don't like in the end, right? Maybe we blew up at somebody or we, I don't know, you know, withdrew or we just, you know, had a reaction that we didn't like. What would be something you would just encourage them to kind of start navigating in that space?
Two things. One is if they're a safe person. And you can, you know, study what the signs are that someone is safe. Dr. Henry Cloud has a really great series of books about like identifying safe people. If they're safe, consider repair. It's not an excuse for behavior, but a huge part of my healing is like, I'm letting myself off the hook of trying to be perfect all the time and just make an earnest attempt to repair and adjust your behavior moving forward. And that's incredibly powerful. If they're not safe, figure out how to limit your interaction with them and develop tactics. And to be fair, these may be people who you grew up loving. They may be people who you work with every day. Figure out a game plan. And for me, I like to have a grounding technique for when I'm getting overwhelmed and I just rub my fingers together and nobody can see it. Or you can like rub your foot in a figure eight on the floor and kind of ground yourself. If you have to, I'm quick to excuse myself and go to the restroom in the middle of a meeting. Nobody's going to question you going to the restroom.
No.
You know, and remove yourself physically from them, because part of what happens with trauma and triggers is basically our brain goes offline and our body gets completely overwhelmed, and the only things that'll bring us back are someone safe who can help us like quickly come back. And when you're triggered by someone who's not safe, you go to the Holy Spirit. So you remove yourself from them and go talk to God. Like he was mm-hmm. whoever your bestie is that's super safe, whoever the super safe person is.
Yeah.
Father, yeah. I feel, try to name your feeling and walk through that until you come back to yourself. And mm-hmm. then, mm-hmm. you know, next level is to navigate, you know, professionally or respectfully removing yourself from it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, yeah. hey, it seems yeah. like there's a lot of tension here. I really want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's mm-hmm. come back together when this can be more productive. And
yeah.
a lot of it is like, just go, but in a healthy yeah, yeah, way. Yeah. Right.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. Cause probably a lot of it for people is family members who, you know, if you're not around them, then you're not letting me see my grandkids, or you're not, mm-hmm. you know, letting me see my, you know, yeah. son-in-law, or, you know, so there's a lot of those interesting traits. But that, yeah, that is really good. Mm-hmm. Having kind of a game plan. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times I'll say myself, I can live in a space where I'm like hoping to never encounter a trigger. And that's never helpful.
Yeah.
Like, because that's life. So it's, I love that to have a game plan for when I do, because yeah. it's going to happen.
Oh, yes.
And I will most likely have a reaction that I will not feel great about.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to, yeah, find safety, recalibrate, connect with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and kind of come back to, okay, you know, I'm not, what is the saying? You know, I'm not my first reaction.
Right.
But from then I can take some responsibility, accountability, create safety, boundaries, all that good stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so good. Man, well, thank you. This was a good session for me.
Good, good.
You called me out in some good ways. Some ways that I needed it. So I really appreciate it. Can you talk just a little bit about your guys' podcast and what it's called and where people could find it?
Oh, yeah. So it's on YouTube, and our Instagram handle is The Marital Arts, like marital. And
love it.
It's just relationship advice from that's relatable. We're clear yeah. about our biblical beliefs, but we actually want to reach yeah. people who just need to navigate relationships, which is a human need.
Mm-hmm.
And totally. It's built on the idea that, you know, your individual personal relationship and intimacy with Christ, or whatever mm-hmm. is going on with you spiritually, that is going to overflow mm-hmm. in all your other relationships. And yeah. so we talk through marriage, but a lot mm-hmm. of it just comes down to like you and you alone.
Right.
How can we help you figure yeah. it out? So
yeah.
it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I love that. It is. It's really good. Yeah. You guys are killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, well, thank you so much for taking time yeah. to chat with me. This was so good.
I love you. And I love you too.
Yes. Yeah.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.